Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, the last Tuesday in February, February the 28th, 2023. And as always, this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio, and the call-in number is 347-857-3293 for those of you who have never heard us before. Tonight, we have a phrase that we want you to think about. And it goes like this. Trump has unleashed the underbelly of American thought that has existed since the Civil War. Now, I have to criticize us for that because for those of you who are anti-history, you won't have a clue as to what in the world we are talking about. But to the rest of you who don't run from history but don't want to repeat it, I know you get me. Because this is a news analysis. It's an anatomy of oppression which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism and the United States American capitalist system. And that requires the ability to see patterns. And as Darwin told us, if you can't see patterns, you're close to extinction. Something to think about. Ralph Pointer, what's happening? happening?
Well, good evening, my brothers and sisters. And as Sister Betty says, Trump has unleashed the underbelly of American thought that has existed since the Civil War and before. Now, what are we talking about? And I take everything that is said seriously. And every criticism, I try to think about it. What is the value of this criticism? Now, I'm going to deal with one criticism this evening. I've been told that when you tune into this program, you think you're listening to El Tigre or the Angry Lion. And I confess that is true because I don't know how to tell this reality with a smile. We are in terrible trouble here, my brothers and sisters. And let me explain this evening's title. Can I go to The Lost Cause? That's the excuse for existence of slavery and wanting the policies of Jim Crow to come back. Anti-voting legislation. Well, when I was in school, they said it was the responsibility of every American to vote. And I even heard on this program people calling in and saying, if you don't vote, you should be arrested. You have earned a right to vote. And I think that goes a bit far. But then let's look at those who work against the right to vote. Long lines. Criminalizing giving water to people waiting in the lines. Gerrymandering. That is to draw voting zones so that it takes the power away from certain people. We're talking about people of color here. And so the list goes on. But Trump did not invent the new Jim Crow. He didn't invent anything. He's the master of taking advantage of what is. And what America is and has been is a racist country. Now, I'm going to just name a few things that add to this problem of the lost cause. The South working on getting the idea out here that they were justified in keeping slavery and that Reconstruction was a terrible thing. Now, we all know there was a whole industry developed and built on denigrating people of color. An industry. As a matter of fact, our recently departed Sister Lynn had a collection of, she would buy whenever she would go places and to auctions, etc., she would buy some of these examples of the industry of denigrating people of color. And we have it all over the house. And when people come and look and they say, why do you have this stuff? And I said, so as to remember where we are. Now, so how do we contribute to this self-delusion that is achieving individual American dream? And I'm saying there is no such thing as an individual dream. There is no such thing as individual Tulsa's or any of the other cities, Rosewood, any city where black people made a stand and they were destroyed as individual cities, individual towns, individual philosophies. That's why people talk about having a natural or an organized philosophy that all people of progress, and you hear what I said? All people, without regard to age, gender, race, etc., religion. No, that doesn't matter. an agenda of justice. And to get there, we have to call it a progressive agenda. And we get into self, becoming a part of the Oscar movie celebrations. And everybody gets excited about that. Oh, there's a black person there. In the meantime, Benton Harbor is being taken over by a fiscal emergency manager, and they trained 63 of them to plan to take over the rest of the country. And I'm not going to go into that. We've been into that on other programs. And Ben Jealous of the NAACP attacks Bishop in Benton Harbor. We've always had him on the program. And, well, the beat goes on and on. I was talking to Reverend Pinckney yesterday, and I went with him to University of Southern California, where the NAACP had its convention. And that was years ago, and that's when I found out, when I saw the homelessness in California, I couldn't believe the tents that I'd seen around the stadium there. And we see that a part of our disillusionment is that our leadership, the NAACP, goes against somebody who says Whirlpool is stealing our water. They don't pay their bill. And Reverend Pinckney ends up in jail. And so, again, we have people praising American presence in the imperialist war machine. Alston, the UN representative of America, a black woman, going around the world trying to bully black countries into supporting the imperialist design of America. And somebody said it a long time ago, black faces in high places. And we sometimes confuse survival in a society with becoming a part of a society. We all want to survive in this society. We all have to survive in this society. We are constantly begging for support for our political prisoners. We're begging for your success in this society, your success in not only existing, but having a little something extra to support a movement that will save our lives. So let us begin, go back to where we started, and that is Trump did not invent American racism. He just saw it and took advantage of it, and the rest of us are kind of, I don't understand it, but I tried to lay it out as best I could, and I tell you, I don't have a smile on my face, because as I said, we, my brothers and sisters, are in great trouble as we watch the imperialist war attack Russia. They've already broken it up. It used to be the USSR, Union of Soviet Socialists of Russia, is no longer that. It is Russia. And we forget the country that we are in. We base everything on our individual success while people are homeless, people without a job, the number of people, black people, died from every disease, AIDS, COVID, in an outrageous number compared to a more prosperous and basically white America. And so we have to take these things into consideration, and while we're doing it, we need, as somebody said, you know, you sound like El Tigre or an angry lion, and I'm saying, yeah, yes, I guess I can't put it in words that are more relaxing And so we'll go to our wonderful poet, Professor Louis, to help us out here, to put a smile on our face while we're being educated to this outrageous situation we are in. Sister Betty.
Professor Louis, welcome back, and thank you once again. We anticipate your words of wisdom. Your mic is open.
Where does all the money go? Check your pockets. You ain't got no dough. No matter what you do or what you know, tell me where the money goes. Now, I know you feel, politicians feel, that's for real, but what's the real deal? They make a money at our expense, trying to take a dollar out of 50 cents. The president, the Congress, bought and sold, that's old, it's cold, but who paid the gold? It cost millions of dollars to get elected. Who got selected? Who was rejected? The big corporations paid the campaign. They don't put their money down the drain. They paid the Republican. They paid the Democrat. Don't matter who wins. They like it like that. It's corporate power. Hour after hour, while you sleep deep in your ivory tower, they're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power. So now that politician, through and through, he'll do what the corporation wants him to, because now he got a corporate agenda. Make, break, take, and bend you like a bad joke till the government's broke everywhere, because the big corporations won't pay their share of taxes. The maxes for some, they do a whole year of business and don't pay none. That's not profit, it's capital gain. While you feel the pain, you're out in the rain, they get tax abatements, government contracts, humongous loopholes. You know the facts, because when you got to pay, hey, what the heck, they already took the money out of your check. It's corporate power. Hour after hour, while you sleep deep in your ivory tower, they're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power. So these politicians got no shame, but just the same, they need someone to blame. So they blame the immigrant trying to make a buck, blame the lady on welfare down on her luck, blame the junkie, deny the bail. But corporations make money off the people in jail. They blame the unions, cut them down to size. They don't like workers who get organized. They blame Africa, China, taking jobs from you. But they work for Nike in China, too. They blame all the Muslims, throw them under the bus. We're allowed to kill them, but they can't kill us. And the biggest blame you're ever going to see, that's home alone with your TV, because your TV news gives you the blues. They just ooze with the views of the big corporations. There's no complication to the explanation of the situation. The corporation owns the station, and they tell you who to blame for the pain, but they never really name from where the pain came, from corporate power. Hour after hour, while you sleep deep in your ivory tower, they're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power. So corporate profits, they're on fire. The stock market, higher and higher. The economy, real, real good. Of course, you never see it in your neighborhood because so many people lost good jobs. The company sobbed. They turned the doorknob. We're sorry, slob. Sad but true. We're doing so good that we don't need you, ding-a-ling, because every damn thing all across the nation, it's all owned by the same corporation. They own the drug company, the hospital too, managed care owns the doctor looking at you. They make money from guns, money from prison, money from insurance, money from the collision. They sell your cosmetics with your last dime, designer clothes. Their name is the design, charge you way too much for a gallon of gas. Sell you plastic surgery and cut your ass. And South America, Africa, Asia, those sneakers on your feet, they're from Malaysia, because these big companies are worldwide, pushing in the bush, everybody aside. And the biggest ones got that special situation. They hide inside your TV station, commercials for cars, commercials for beer, every minute of the day, every second of the year. General Motors, Bud Budweiser, AT&T, they're the friendly faces on your TV because they'll make your enemy look like your friend. Don't bend. Ooh. They'll shaft you in the end because it's not about friends. It's all about money. And the ones who got it, they're not funny, sonny. Million billionaires where the money goes. Millions on clothes, private shows. Millions and millions up somebody's nose. And they own the government head to toes because when that politician leaves the government, he knows where he goes. He don't need a hint. He sits on the board of the big corporations going back and forth like changing stations from government to business, back for more, round, round, and round, the revolving door. So you see, the whole society, it is not made for you and me. Stop, look, and listen. Stop. Bottom to top. It's corporate power that calls the shots. And the president, the Congress who run the nation, they're just front men for the big corporations. It's corporate power, hour, hour after hour. While you sleep deep in your ivory tower, they're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power. So there's a lot to do for me and you. This world keeps turning. It is never through. Free your mind. Clear your brain. The pain is when we stay the same because, you know, we love this corporate stuff. SUVs, 5Gs, it's never enough, and that's rough because it's tough to change through and through. Sad but true. They got you loving the hand that's beating on you. But maybe someday, baby, we will all wake up, analyze, get wise. Enough is enough because when we are together, I could tell you all, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. And quiet as it's kept, it ain't no joke. This world belongs to the regular folks. But we got to get up and get what's ours and take a bite tonight out of these corporate powers. It's corporate power, hour, hour after hour. They get the sweet, we get the sour. We get the weeds, they get the flower. It's a private airplane calling the tower. They're down in the jacuzzi instead of the shower, taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power.
Well, there's a smile on my face now. Maybe we had better open up with Professor Louie so that I don't sound like El Tigre or the Angry Lion. Thank you again, Professor Louie. It's archived, and every Wednesday morning I listen to Professor Louie on the archive program to start my day. You should try the same. Sister Betty.
All right, please remember, we can focus on the bigger clowns, the spokespeople for the upper class, but they can only do what the reality of your enslavement creates for them to do. So if Trump has got a script that says we should go back to the Civil War, then you need to look around you and see exactly why that might make sense. And without further ado, we're going to talk about the people who, no matter who is in the elite chair at any particular time, they resist. They struggle, and they go straight ahead and fight for freedom, and some of them get captured. And so tonight we're going to talk about some of our captives that we need to get out of the death camps. We're very fortunate to have Comrade Gil Obler in the house tonight to give us an update on Mamiya. And as always, we have Ann Lam. Since Gil, I assume, will not have to require a lot of time, we're going to let him start it off, and Ann will pick up the slack with her major report. Gil, your mic is open, and welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you. There's two things going on with Mumia's case in the next couple of weeks. The more important of these is Thursday, March 16th. We have another court date in Philadelphia, and we're going to have transportation as usual. It'll likely be vans because of the short notice. We probably won't be getting a bus, but but we're trying to figure out how many people want to go down. As usual, we'll be meeting at the northeast corner of Union Square, 17th Street and Union Square East, at 5:30 in the morning to travel down to Philadelphia in time to for the people that want to go in the courthouse. And, of course, we'll have a demonstration on Filbert Street outside the courthouse, a major demonstration that people will want to join as well. We're still setting things up because we just got the information in the last couple of days, but we're gonna. We have information on the hotline. Well, it's not yet on the hotline, but it will be in the next couple of days, which is 212-330-8029.
Repeat that.
Again, that's 212-330-8029. Unfortunately, right now, the freemomedia.com website is down. I hope to get it back up and running in the next couple of days. But the information will be on websites that are up and running, bringmumiahome.com.
Mobilization for Mumia.
And Mobilization for Mumia and Love Not Fear. For sure on the bringmumiahome.com, there'll be information on how to arrange transportation with us. There'll be a ticket tailor app where people can make a reservation online, or you can call the hotline or arrange directly with one of us to be on the on the list of people that are going down to Philadelphia on Thursday, March 16th. Again, leaving at 5:30 in the morning. Boarding at 5:30 in the morning. We'll probably leave a little bit after that, but the purpose of leaving so early is so that people can get into the courtrooms. In addition, on Saturday,
is that
March 11th,
I could make the announcements about Saturday the 11th.
On Saturday, March 11th, between 2 and 4, in Germantown, Philadelphia, there's going to be a presentation by the United Nations Liaison Group, Reverend Judge Wendell Griffin, Dr. Cornell West, Pedro Polanov, Dr. Johanna Fernandez, Gabriel Bryan, and Mark Lemon Hill, and Lynn Washington, among others. Some of us will probably go down to Philadelphia, to Germantown that day. The details are still being worked out, but it'll be available to anyone on live stream. You can go to https://linktr.ee/mumia. And get the information on registering for the live stream so that you can see it if you don't go down to Philadelphia.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much, Gil. We appreciate your efforts on behalf of Mumia and all political prisoners. As you know, folks, the date is fast approaching when Sister Lynn transitions, and we will always honor the wonderful band of comrades that helped to bring her home, so that she could transition with her family, and Gil Obler was definitely one of those. We'll be having a special program tomorrow on WBAI. Part of that program will be to talk about women in the struggle all over the world, past as well as present. Thank you, Gil, and we'll transition straight to Ann Lamb, who will give us the rest of the update on our political prisoners. Ann, your mic is open.
All right. Okay, I do have another one on Mumia that will be happening on Thursday. Our new Jericho chapter in Detroit is going to be showing Long Distance Revolutionary, and that is a free online film event, and that will be this coming Thursday, March 2nd, 7 p.m., and you can register to attend
at tinyurl.com, that's tinyurl.com/Mumia with a capital M, hyphen film. Once again, that's tinyurl.com/Mumia with a capital M, hyphen film. That will be happening on Thursday at 7 p.m. And also, even before that, tomorrow, right here in El Barrio, we're going to have part two of Dr. Matulu Shakur is Free. And this is going to be a second evening of film, culture, speakers, and free health and healing treatment that is being organized by the Safi Bukhari Albert Noah Washington Foundation. That will be happening at the People's Church, which is on the corner of East 111th Street and Lexington Avenue. The easiest way to get there is to take the 6 train to 110th Street. And that will be happening from 5 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. We already had one a week ago. It was really good. You can get some, you know, good treatments if you want to. They'll have acupuncture, acupressure, physical massage, Reiki, Qigong, reflexology, therapy juices, herbs, detox, and more. And this is a fundraiser for Dr. Shakur. So I just want to let people know about those upcoming things. Also upcoming is our dear friend Reverend Joy Powell's birthday, which is March 5th. And it would be really nice if people would send her some birthday cards. She would really appreciate it. And her address is up on jerichony.org/prisoners.html. And you can write to her and you can send her a nice birthday card. I know she would appreciate it. Now, in addition to that, we have several things going on with some of our newer political prisoners. So we have heard from our friends defending the forest there in Atlanta that the prosecutors plan to indict them on RICO charges.
Whoa.
So now we're talking RICO. Now, this is, like, amazing because they can charge them as a criminal organization under the RICO statute. Of course, they have to prove, supposedly the prosecutors must prove, that those charged engaged in a quote-unquote pattern of racketeering activity involving quote-unquote at least 2 acts in furtherance of quote-unquote one or more incident schemes or transactions. So the Atlanta Solidarity Fund and Community Movement Builders, along with attorneys at the Civil Liberties Defense Center and Georgia attorney Donald F. Samuel, made the announcement today after they became aware of information about the indictments. So that's happening. So these people are going to face like up to 20 years in prison if this happens. You know, not less than 5 and not more than 20 years of imprisonment, in addition to fines totaling the greater of $25,000 or 3 times the amount of any pecuniary value gained by him or her from such violation. So this is going to be happening, so we need to pay attention to this. Very important that peaceful protesters defending the forest are about to be facing RICO charges. This article, which was done by Unicorn Riot, which I will be sending out immediate month on the e-list, does not mention one thing that certainly did happen. Because they say RICO targets organized criminal enterprises and is created in the 70s to more effectively prosecute the mafia. Since then, RICO statutes have been used against participants in the 2019 college admission scandal, anti-abortion groups, insider traders, and now environmental and climate justice activists. They forgot a couple of things that happened before then. Dr. Matulu Shakur was charged with RICO and convicted on RICO, and so were the Puerto Rican political prisoners who were also convicted on RICO. So this is some history they may not know, so I will be informing them about that. So that's happening, and also at the same time, the FBI has decided to arrest some activists in Florida who, when the whole thing of Roe v. Wade was coming down, they did some very creative graffiti. Is what they did. They did graffiti. So having done graffiti is apparently a very serious crime and can lead to people coming and raiding your home. At 6 a.m. on February 1st, FBI agents claiming to have a no-knock warrant took flashbang grenades and pointed automatic rifles at the activists and 2 teenage children who were also in the home. Agents led the family out of the house at gunpoint. About a month later, the activist whose home was raided on February 1st has not been formally charged with anything. FBI agents have also shown up at activist places of employment, attempted to solicit information from activist parents, and sent at least one target letter indicating that the federal prosecutor involved in the case believes that the person either committed a crime or has information about a crime. One person was fired from their job shortly after the FBI visit. And we even have the names of two of the agents who are involved in harassing these people. One is Special Agent Stephen May, and the other is Special Agent Timothy Taylor. So people are living in fear because they don't know if they're going to be woken up before daybreak with flashbang grenades, cops with rifles. And, you know, this is really amazing. And if convicted of the offenses, according to the Civil Liberties Defense Center, these two activists each face up to a maximum of 12 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and fines of up to $350,000. And all they did was spray paint some graffiti on one of these fake abortion centers that counsels women not to have abortions.
Well, thank you for that report, Ken. But I would like to add that sometimes if they come for me in the morning, they'll come for you at night, because the flash gun, flashbang grenades and the FBI and the tanks in the middle of the night happened to the African People's Socialist Party, as you know. And one of the first reasons that Chairman Yeshitela was arrested was when he wrote against a racist saying on the wall. And this was, you know, quite some time ago. But this is why touch one, touch all should be our philosophy. Having said that, we're going to move along. And thank you, Ann, for keeping the Jericho website up to date. People, you've got to go on the website and read and be aware of how the arm of fascism and racism is encircling you. And you must do something about it. Lisa, your mic is open.
And thank you so much for that, Ann. And the smile is off my face. I'm sorry, Professor Louis. It lasted for a little bit, but this news, angering news. Sister Lisa, your
this
microphone.
This is why we must respond and protect and support our political prisoners.
Exactly.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much. Yes, we absolutely must. I just want to call in very briefly to give people something that I heard about on Saturday. I had the chance to attend an art gallery showing by Carlito Rivera, which was very, very informative. He's an extremely political person, and he had activists there talking and speaking. And there was a young man there who was talking about a case, a class action lawsuit that was being brought against New York City and how they have been implementing their bail. And they are saying that if people were held more than 3 hours after bail was posted, that they could participate in this class action lawsuit. They should at least know about it. So I just wanted to give the website and a phone number that people could call pertaining to this class action lawsuit that is now in effect. It's www.nycbailsettlement.com. That's nycbailsettlement.com. And the phone number is 833-472-1994 that people can call. But I just want to make people aware of this. I had received a flyer about this. So I just want to do my part in at least passing this information on so people can look into that.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Sister Lisa. Sister Betty.
Are you sure there are no other announcements that you want to share with regard to the Black is Back Coalition?
I'm trying to think. I know that we will be having our electoral campaign school on April 7th and 8th. When we get more information out there about it, we will be publicizing it. They can go to the website, www.blackisbackcoalition.org, to look into more information about that.
Thank you so much. Without further ado, Brother Henry Hagen, your mic is open.
Thank you, Sister Betty, and Brother Ralph, and good to hear from Sister Lisa again. I'd like to share with the audience a press release from the National Network on Cuba, which condemns Biden's country report and false designation of Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism. This was released yesterday, the 27th. There is no mistake about it. With the February 27th release of the State Department's country report on terrorism 2021, President Biden accepted ownership of the illegal U.S. economic war on Cuba, following suit with Donald Trump, George Bush, and Ronald Reagan's hawkishness with the false designation of Cuba as a so-called state sponsor of terror. Unbelievably, Biden's Secretary of State asserts that Cuba had repeatedly provided support for acts of international terrorism since its state sponsor of terrorism designation had been rescinded in 2015. Despite this untrue report, President Biden needed only review the past 6 months and accept Cuba's unequivocal rejection of terrorism to take Cuba off the list. The real purpose of slandering Cuba as a terrorist is to justify the criminal blockade on Cuba. Biden is choosing to join his predecessors in failure to defeat the Cuban people's centuries-long determination for sovereignty and self-determination on the road to equality, full human development, and socialism. The country report on terrorism repeats the same discredited excuses that over 180 of the world's countries have rejected for 30 consecutive years in votes at the United Nations General Assembly. The United States war on Cuba is increasingly rejected by the United States public, whose elected officials in government and unions representing over 44 million people have called for Cuba to be removed from the state sponsors of terrorism list and that the U.S. end the blockade and take steps to normalize relationships with its much smaller neighbor. And then it goes on. It also cites the fact that the United States has attempted to assassinate Fidel over 600 times. Matter of fact, the exact figure is 638 times. But they're condemning Biden's position on maintaining these hostile relations with Cuba because Cuba is not a state sponsor of terrorism. If anyone is a state sponsor of terrorism, it's the United States.
Well, thank you for that update. We support the Cuban people here. None of us will forget when we had this issue, prior to COVID, doctors kept us safe. If they had a government, and include our students here. So I thank you, Brother Henry, for that report. We've got to move right along because we've got a lot to cover. I see that our people are in the house to give us reports from the rest of the country. Brother Dennis Asiero, your mic is open.
Yes, good evening. Very powerful from the very beginning with Brother Louis, Professor Louis, who set the tone for the night. The law is whatever they say it is. I want everybody to write down handsoffuhuru.org. And it's no different than what I heard from Sister Ann Lamb about the graffiti rights. The law is whatever they say it is, and then using the RICO laws, abusing laws that weren't even written for that purpose. So the law is whatever they say it is. I would like to also let you know, Sister Comrade Betty and Brother Ralph, that I sent you out some very good, I think you would call these jewels, International Women's Day and the Struggle for Liberation for Black People. This is about the women's struggle. This was in a political education study tonight. And I also want to inform you that the chairman was on a program tonight, which was, I did send that to you as well. It was an excellent interview that was given based on conditions when you mentioned the intrusion of the FBI and what they stand for. They're the militarized imperialist forces that terrorize each and everyone that would undertake a struggle for freedom and liberation. Now, I came here tonight to also give an update of the Benton Harbor City's water crisis. And it came from EGLE, which is Michigan Department of Environmental Great Lakes and Energy. It was, some people call it the EPA. The city of Benton Harbor, this came out yesterday, February 27th. City of Benton Harbor residents urged to take additional steps to eliminate sources of lead in their homes. Drinking water roadmap outlines process after service lines are replaced. Lansing, Michigan, with 99.5% of lead service lines replaced in the city of Benton Harbor, the state is continuing its all-hands-on-deck response to make resources available to residents in the city of Benton Harbor. This includes free home lead inspection and abatement services to help families ensure there are not additional sources of lead in their homes from paint or plumbing. That would mean the door sashes, that would mean the window sashes, those things that I think that the commissioner ran to you on last week. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, MDHHS, has created a drinking water roadmap to illustrate the steps City of Benton Harbor families should take after their lead service lines are replaced, that would mean in the house, to eliminate sources of lead in their homes. Steps include using lead-reducing filters or bottled water until MDHHS has cleared the home's plumbing for use, scheduling a free home lead inspection and abatement service to ensure there are no additional sources of lead in the home, getting the home's plumbing fixed, removed, or replaced for free if any sources of lead are found in your home's plumbing, getting water tested by MDHHS to confirm that any sources of lead in the home's plumbing have been fixed, removed, or replaced, cleaning aerators and keeping the water moving in your home, home lead lines. Home lead services are available for all homes or housing units, rental or owner-occupied, on the Benton Harbor water supply, regardless of the age of the home. There are no household income requirements. Owners of rental properties will be required to participate in cost sharing for services. In-home lead investigation services can include environmental investigations to identify lead in paint, dust, soil, and drinking water hazards. In addition, sequential water sampling to identify lead in drinking water and testing for non-service or non-household components, toys, dishes, furniture, etc., with potential to contain lead, will be offered. Lead abatement services can include full abatement services for lead in paint, dust, soil, and I think I said some of this, drinking water hazards, free 2014 bathroom and kitchen faucets used for portable water.
Brother Seattle, okay, that's quite a lot of detail.
Good information. But now, I want to say this, encapsulating this. The only, in my opinion, I've seen this happen, you saw this happen in Bethesda, Maryland, when they came and redeveloped over the graveyard, gravesite of the buried slaves. I see the same thing that when they changed the plumbing out in Benton Harbor, and there are an influx of white people coming back, living in the city, that that's when gentrification will occur. And we have deduced it will be by 2028, the takeover will occur. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru.
Freedom, and that is that is a diagram of gentrification, how it works. And it started with the removal of the indigenous people in America. It has just changed in form, but it's the same thing. Thank you.
We have a few more people who have to give us reports, but if there is time and if Sister Ann has the time, she put an incredible update on what's happening in Mississippi. I think if she can summarize it, many of you would contrast it to what Comrade Seattle is saying to us. One of the things you have to recognize is that when it comes to oppression, there are no accidents. Whatever happens, they have planned it way decades ahead of time. they what the man giveth, the man taketh away. Without further ado, we want to open up the mic for the last four digits, 3933. Your mic is open if you want to share some words of wisdom before we go to Brother Joel.
Hi, Betty. It's Gwen.
Hey, how you doing, Gwen?
Well, I wanted to say I was doing great, but I'm not, because the law is whatever the F they say it is, okay?
You got that right.
I got that right, and I just wanted to pass some. I'm also in court, and I have to. Such a repeat. Are you guys getting a repeat on the other side? An echo?
Yeah, we.
I feel like there's such an echo here. That's better. Can you hear me? Do we lose you?
I'm sorry.
We closed our mic so that you would not have an echo if it was us.
If you close your mics, I won't get. You can still hear me, right? Because then I won't get the echo. I just wanted to say that I also have been in court, and although this is not anything to do with prisoner, political prisoners, I feel like I am one. We're on a case right now where a judge has an order that he did not sign, he did not enter onto the record, and I'm about to have to go into trial for this order. So I have to go to trial for an order that hasn't been signed and hasn't been entered into the record. And, you know, I got off the phone with somebody tonight who told me that, Gwen, you ought to be a little more humble about this. And, you know, I have been humble about the idea that, we can go so far, just allowing judges who don't sign things, who don't enter into the record, but just because they feel like it, they can just destroy your life. Because apparently there's the law, but there's also the judge's opinion, and they have equal weight, or that's what I've been told. And it's been really a really, really rough ride. And I can only imagine what it is like for more serious cases than mine. But, you know, I also have to say this, too. It's awful that American people can't use the courts unless you're a millionaire, unless you have a ton of money. Because they don't want pro se people there, but you can't pay somebody $350 an hour. And so many things that have to be handled have to go through the court system if they're going to be handled a legal way. So I'm just going to put that out there and leave it, because there's such an echo here, it's driving me nuts. So that's my chime in for tonight.
Okay, thank you so much for that. But that is we have been told a long time ago by our dear sister Lynn, that's right. Law is whatever they say it is, but they don't talk about justice. They talk about law, and we know the law that they impose. Law against the poor. Law against people of color. And it goes on and on. Law against people of different sex preferences. And they say, coming of the fascist state? And Lynn Stewart's answer was, my brothers and sisters, the fascist state is here. Thank you for that update, Gwen.
And I'd like to extend that discussion to all city agencies. If you go up against them in housing, you're going to get this arbitrary and capricious treatment. If you go up against the unions for your union rights, you're going to get this arbitrary and capricious treatment. So, in effect, this is not a land for those who are not rich. And I think that was the whole point of Professor Louis' poem. We're going to ask you and welcome you back and ask you to keep us updated on just how this case is going. And we want to thank Comrade Sayero for that detailed information on the process of the infrastructure of Benton Harbor and the whole piece of how you repair it. But I think if I heard him correctly, he was saying they're not doing this for the people who were originally living there. They're doing this because they're getting ready to remove them from their reservation and replace them with the colonials.
Ethnic cleansing, we call it.
It's what we're looking at. And unless we push back and do something about it,
It will never change.
And so one of the reasons I kept your mic open is because I respect you, Gwen. You're always trying to push back against them no matter what. Without further ado, we're going to go to another comrade who also believes in pushing back and fighting back. I think I saw him on the line. I hope I didn't lose him. And it looks like he has disappeared on us. So we're going to ask, before we see if Ann has found that article that she put out on her listserv about Mississippi, we're going to ask if 0264 wants to say a few words. 0264, your mic is open.
Uhuru family, black power, black power, black power. Our time is, we need to fight for our prisoners, and we need to fight for our people of housing and all of this stuff they're going. We got to fight for them. We got to put paperwork, get everyone to get some paperwork to sign the petition so we can fight them back so we can all live happily and free. And
okay.
Another thing that we need to get ready for is survival, because all of this stuff is going on. We got to know how to go in the woods and stay and survive, and the things we need to take to survive with. And I thank you for letting me speak. Y'all have a wonderful and very powerful night.
Well, we thank you for speaking. I'm glad we gave you the opportunity. You're free to give us that kind of advice anytime. We would like to, Ann was able to find that piece that she put out on the update on Mississippi. The reason this is important is because this is the template for the taking back of freedom and disenfranchisement of people of color throughout the United States. It is the in-your-face black codes coming back again. Did you find that article, Sister Ann?
Yes, I found one. There's several articles, and they're all around the same thing.
Yes.
They're trying to create a
Fred,
in Jackson.
Stop.
In Jackson, Mississippi, they now want to create a separate criminal justice system. Appointed by the white people in power in Mississippi, and including for it to be in the white neighborhoods of Jackson, Mississippi, which there are not too many of, because Jackson, Mississippi is 83% African American. And this is called House Bill 1020. So this would definitely threaten the principle of one person, one vote, because the judges are supposed to be elected by the people, and they would not be elected, they would be appointed by the Mississippi, people in the capital of Mississippi, right? Which that is the House in Mississippi. It has, of course, a white supermajority. And this bill's proposed, quote unquote, capital complex improvement district would include all of the city's majority white neighborhoods. So you would have separate unelected judges and prosecutors in a separate part of Jackson. And, it is really amazing that they can get away with this kind of stuff. But as you say, Sister Betty, this is their blueprint. The special district's officials would be appointed by statewide elected officials, all of whom are white. Not only are all of the state's current elected officials white due to racially polarized voting, they may be white for the foreseeable future. Mississippi has not elected an African-American to statewide office since Reconstruction, despite the fact that the population of the state is nearly 40% black. So this proposed district would put governmental decision-making on issues involving its majority white neighborhoods into the hands of white officials. Jackson's non-white individuals arrested there would also be more than likely have white judges preside over their fate. The House Bill 1020 would give the state's Chief Justice the power to appoint judges for the special district and the Attorney General the power to appoint its prosecutors. So we have a nice quote here from the mayor of Jackson. And that is Jackson Mayor Chokwe Anta Lumumba, son of Chokwe Lumumba, who many of us know very well. And he says this reminds him of apartheid South Africa. So this is really, really, you know, disgusting thing that they're trying to impose. And we need to be paying attention and to make sure that this does not happen. Because it really makes, a horrible, horrible precedent if they get away with this. And, you know, first they started with the whole thing with the water. Now they're going into this. So, you know, they really do not like the fact that Jackson, Mississippi, which happens to be the capital of Mississippi, is 83% African-American. And they surely do not like Chokwe Anta Lumumba being the mayor.
And we must remember, when we talk of these struggles, this didn't just happen yesterday. We're talking about struggles that started 20, 30 years ago, 40. The struggle in Mississippi with Chokwe Lumumba becoming mayor, hell, it was 50 years ago. And so 50 years, we've been fighting this fight, and we finally get to a point where the people are aware of their community and their government, and for the first time, they elect a mayor of color, and the state reacts. And this is their punishment for electing a mayor of color. So understand the struggle in Benton Harbor, 20 years. These things have been going on, and this is some of the reactions we get from America. But that's why we are here, to let people understand not only the struggle, but the history of the struggle. Sister Betty.
I want to emphasize the fact that this is your second generation of people who resisted apartheid in the southern hemisphere of the United States of America. This is the children, the children of Chokwe Lumumba, who fought for the political prisoners in the Black Liberation Army, who fought against the death camps of the South, because that's all the South has ever been, a huge death camp. And these people and rebelled against it. And now these are their second-generation children who are trying to take the struggle for freedom to the next level. And what is the next level? When you institutionalize it, you take over the institutions and you make them accountable. So we notice that Brother Joel is back in the mix with us. We're all going to open his mic. But Ann, I thank you for that report. And again, I want to say to everybody, keep up with the Jericho website.
No, Joel, you. Your mic is open.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I was this coming maybe from a different angle, but I got some news about the anti-war demonstration that took place last Sunday on the 19th. And I understand there were several thousand people at the demonstration. Some say 1,000, some say up to 4,000, I've heard. And I think it was a sort of a little political experiment in the anti-war movement, because we had forces of both left center, whatever that means in the United States at this time, but it showed an accumulation of opposition to the build-up to World War III. Taking place, which is the most important thing. If we're talking about the survival of the human race, and if we're talking about the even the immediate number of people around the world that can die as a result, because this can go all the way. And the United States, they the so-called President Biden has declared that he will stick with the Ukrainian war as long as it takes. And now we have Secretary of the Treasury, Yellen, again visited the chief and repeated the same message that they're in for as long as it takes. They want no compromise. They it's totally crazy as they drive towards World War III, but there is the beginning of opposition in a wide sector. I'm also very disappointed because from some of the news that came out, a lot of organizations that wanted to boycott this particular anti-war demonstration because it had some right-wing participation, boycotted it, which is okay as far as that goes, but also tried to undermine it in a lot of ways by exaggerating the significance of the forces there that are normally considered to be on the right, and by giving it labels and pressuring certain people like Mazia Benjamin, who's known as a longtime anti-war activist who's at every anti-war event, pressured her not to speak at the event. And it had a lot of, and I think that it's one thing if they feel it's against their principles to participate together with organizations that are considered right of center, like libertarians, for example, themselves. But I think it's wrong at this point to undermine any movement that's coming together around the issue of let's back away from this before it provokes a World War III and especially when you consider the aims of the U.S. ruling class in this war is really world conquest. They're following, and I noticed that Victoria Nuland, the one who in the coup in the Ukraine when the United States really invaded the Ukraine together with its NATO allies back in 2014, she's making a reappearance all over the place these days, and she's a big spokesperson. She's the one that named who the new Ukrainian government was going to be. She was caught on TV actually appointing the new so-called leaders or the leading puppets that the U.S. was setting up there. So, and she's a very big voice in the neocon movement. If you remember, they were the core of the George W. Bush administration that capitalized on 9/11 to create the Iraq War, the Afghan War, and the war all over the Middle East. So Victoria Nuland is back in the news, and she's also just fanning these flames. And their whole ideology has been that the United States can control the entire world if it can take over Central Asia and destroy Russia and China, who made revolutions and obtained real independence, and which the U.S. ruling class and its New World Order allies around the world are not able to control as they would like. And so they're making this really war of world conquest that can easily escalate into a nuclear war. And there are demonstrations from different political directions appearing, all of these should be encouraged. We have to come together because we're up against a determination by the U.S. ruling class to push this as far as it will go, and they are stating this repeatedly in many, many different ways now. And more than stating it, they're sending the arms to keep the war going in just the right measure so that they can keep on increasing the number of arms and prolong the conflict as long as possible. And right now, the anti-war movement is not what it used to be, and it has to be very quickly built up again into a very strong force to present this opposition. And we can anticipate that as the public opinion polarizes about this war, that there's going to be a great deal of repression. So people have to get ready to build a very strong anti-war movement. And I believe it's reasonable to say that the survival of humanity may depend on it. And we shouldn't really have different kinds of unnecessary sectarian splits at this time on that question. And again, it's a question not just of words, but of action, because the U.S. has already gone into action with billions and billions of dollars every time the leaders open their mouth of more money for weapons in the Ukraine, and on top of that, corruption money to keep the politicians there in the state of puppetry and bought off by worldwide corruption that's been one of the main controlling factors here. So I thank you for the time and attention to get that message out. And I know that the people on this phone call are very heavily committed and will definitely be more and more in action on this issue as the situation develops and other related situations develop also, such as that of the political prisoners. And all of this is part of a worldwide war by U.S., NATO, and allied imperialists, and it's at home and abroad. And in each country in this imperialist alliance, the enemy is at home. And these governments and systems have to be replaced by real democracy. That means something based, genuinely based on the working class, which is the vast majority of the people. These are not wars for democracy. These are wars of imperialist conquest, and ultimately steering more and more in a fascist direction.
Sorry, we lost our audio.
Oh, my goodness. I've been talking the last 10 minutes without audio. I'm not going to go over it again. But what I was saying was we had a situation where these wars against Russia and China are old wars, 1917 against Russia, USSR. And what has happened here is that we're talking about China. In Shanghai, there were five sections of the country run by five European countries that any Chinese person had to have a letter from one of these European representatives before they could walk in the streets. Like the rule of so-called law in the South in America. If you were black, you couldn't be in a certain part of town without a letter from a white person. And so when you think of China and communist China, that's the form of government that they decided to support to get rid of European imperialism. And so these wars have been going on a long time, and I'm not concerned about those wars because I'm convinced that the Chinese and the Russian people are going to take care of China and Russia. But what I'm concerned about is who is going to take care of us. And when I hear Joel say, as a report on a demonstration, that there was a group that opposed so-called leftist or progressive voices, and that this they were allowed to get away with that. I would ask Joel to come back in. Medea Benjamin, hardly a radical voice, you know, was they agreed that she should not speak. This is the most passive voice on the planet. And if you can't have Medea Benjamin speaking, what kind of organization are you? It's like people joining, progressive people joining the Democratic Party. And we all know what is the death of progressive people in America is to join the Democratic Party. And we have to be careful who we ally ourselves with. We cannot compromise our principles of anti-war feeling just to have more people involved. If you want to get more people involved, join Trump, because he's 49% of American thought, and these people, no, I'm not interested in allying with Trump philosophy. I'm not interested in organizing with anyone who would say Trumpism, because we can get more people. Sister Betty.
I just want to make the fact, and I want to reinforce what Gwen said. There is no law, because a judge can just make a decision, and whatever your rights are, they no longer exist. And to back it up, we're being told by Ann and Brother Seattle, Comrade Seattle, they'll just send the FBI in with flash bang grenades. If you're not,
if you offer
even the minimum amount of resistance, writing on a wall is as minimal as you can get, unless you're speaking truth to power. And I want to give you an example of how they take away your institutional rights. It is a law that parents control their educational system. But in this country, we don't have community control of education. We have mayoral control, and the mayor can do with your budget money, which comes down from the federal government and the state government, whatever they want to. And this is why Ann Lamb's report to you on Mississippi is so important, because they have just decided the millions and millions of dollars that's being allocated to Mississippi for black infrastructure, water service, will not go there. They're going to make a decision as to how that money is spent. And this is, as Ralph always says, states' rights. But what he is trying to do when he compares why the Chinese had a war and a revolution to bring back their national control over their destiny is because of black codes. And the black codes are whatever the ruling elite power say it is. That's what the law is. So when Brother Dennis is giving us these detailed informations about what infrastructure and what power is, it's important to pay attention. If you got your rights tomorrow and you don't understand how capitalism works, If you don't understand the infrastructure, then you will give it right back to them. And that's what these dumb Negro politicians are doing. They're giving the freedom that the political prisoners fought and died for right back to their master. And so that's why you have to resist by protecting your political prisoners. And before I yield the mic to Brother Ralph, we're hoping that we can have that announcement again about Mamiya. Because don't forget how Mamiya ended up in trouble. He reported on the resistance of the MOVE revolution, and he reported on police corruption, and that is definitely a no-no. So Brother Ralph, and then we'll have Sister Ann and Brother Gil give us those reports again, if they're still on.
Yeah, well, my brothers and sisters, we do not have to go to China. We don't have to go to Benton Harbor. We don't even have to go to Jackson, Mississippi. I just want to remind people of present-day reality. Now, we have a governor, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, leading the charge to say parents should decide what their education should be. And if they decide that their education should remove people of color from history, this is what it should be. Now, I'd like to show you the contradiction here. It was always that way, because the reason why we brought up the question of black history was because the people of color were historically not included in the history of America. Not in sports, not in music, not in science, not anywhere. And that's why people said, hey, we weren't here just yesterday, so let us have black history. But as Sister Betty says, there's no such thing as black history or white history. It's selective history or real history. Until today's date in America, we've had selective history, not only world history, not only American history, but New York history. And I say all of that to say this. It was in 1962 when I arrived into New York as a teacher with 5 years' experience in Pittsburgh. And I realized that you could not be a principal if you were a person of color in New York City. The parents decided we could have a black principal and more black teachers, and the system called out the police. There were many street battles. And then this was the period when the police became militarized, tactical police force. They claimed to be able to beat people at will. This was American law in New York. Well, we fought them. We were able to institute a few black principals. We were able to institute a little of history. And the price was I went to jail for this. And others went to jail to have parent rights within the school system. Not rights that opposed anybody, but rights to bring truth, rights of participation. And we never, never did we ever get the benefit of the education budget. And here they are in Mississippi today. The federal government sends money, and the state government takes it over. How different is that from the federal government and the state government sending money to black communities in America and the community in political control? controls the money. No money for black people in construction. No money for black teachers. No money for black principals.
Or hospitals.
No money for hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
No money for roads. And we say, black people say, well, gee, I want to live in a white neighborhood so I can get decent services. This is not unusual. This is our history. But Sister Betty motions to me. She wants to say something.
You know that the union in New York City is actually trying to take part of the workers' pensions away. So I just wanted you to hear something from a representative, Marianne Pizzatola.
New York City Organization of Public Service Retirees. And this message is for active workers, in-service workers, and their labor leaders. Active unions. The New York City Organization of Public Service Retirees is starting a campaign to let union members in the MLC, especially DC 37, of which I am a member, in the MLC, DC 37, UFT, and sanitation know that we are against being forced into Medicare Advantage plans. And this is your future. If you're not aware, you better start listening. Union leaders, this part is for you. In your last collective bargaining agreement, you lied to your membership when your contracts were ratified and you did not tell them about the MLC agreement appendix that was appendix to your contract, the 2014 or the 2018 MLC agreements. These agreements obligated the union to health care savings without itemizing specifically how it would be done. You generated, quote, savings for your raises by adding co-pays to employees, narrowing their networks of providers, imposing more prior authorizations, and by lowering the HIP rate that would be ensuring members would be paying premium very soon. DC 37 has a tentative agreement right now, and their promotional flyer says that the continuation of premium-free health insurance benefits is provided for by the MLC agreement. Which one? The 2018 agreement? The 2014 agreement?
90 seconds.
Agreement that they haven't said anything about, like what happened in 14, when the teachers had to get a ratification of an agreement with the MLC before the contract was given to the United Federation of Teachers membership. Is that happening right now? What are they talking about? Do you even know? Because we don't. You should be asking your unions, if you're ratifying an agreement with the promise of premium-free health care today, what happens if the MLC votes on a... Are you okay with that? What about if it strips away retiree health care like they attempted to do the last time and they're conspiring to do right now? This would diminish a current retiree's health benefits and your future benefits, even though every time these three guys want to say, no, 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 that's not happening, don't listen to them, it mirrors senior care. It mirrors what they have. It's a lie. We sued to stop it. And we've been successful 10 times. Trust me when we tell you, this is what they're doing, and they're not being honest with you. They want to paint us as being anti-labor. No, we are labor. We're retired labor, and we're telling you the truth. Because you wouldn't have had to hire lawyers and raise millions of dollars in order to get the court to stop them from doing this because they violated the law and our agreements. We say this to you today. Because the MLC is holding an emergency meeting on March 2nd.
We just wanted you to understand that this issue of them taking back the gains that we made in the 60s is all over in every aspect of our lives. And when you fight for the political prisoners, you're fighting for the rights of people at home as well as abroad. Sister Ann, do you want to give them the information about Mamiya one more time? Just Mamiya, please. Because we have to go.
Yes, one more time. Be prepared to go down to Philadelphia on March 16th. The vehicles will be leaving from 17th Street. Not sure what the name of the street is, but it's on the east side of Union Park, just below Park Avenue South. And they will always be there on that corner. They'll be leaving at 5:30 in the morning. This is the next court date. To see what Judge Clemens is going to decide. So 5:30 in the morning, they'll be leaving. Gil said you can go to bringmaliahome.com so you can reserve your seats, and that will be on March 16th. Prior to that, on March 2nd, People are showing long distance revolutionary at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on March 11th, there is an actual and virtual event in Philadelphia from 2 to 4 p.m. So go to the campaign to bring Mumia home. Bring Mumia home.
Thank you so much, Sister Ann. And with that, folks, we want to thank you. We want to apologize for the sound glitches. We were trying to cut down on the background noise. And we hope we'll see you all tomorrow when we deal with the issue of the struggle of women across the world in the past and today. We hope you will join us.
At home and abroad. And thank you so much for tuning in. See you tomorrow night.
On WBAI 99.5 at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, comrades.
Good evening.